For years, the American public has been victimized by the so-called cinematic geniuses, telling us time and again to see inferior movies, leaving us bitter and lost with nowhere to turn. But no more! This travesty of justice cannot and will not continue, because we now have the Cinema Giants!
Hello and welcome to the Cinema Judge. To all my regulars, welcome back. And if you're new to the show, I hope you enjoy it. Now approach the bench today, we have the Marvel movie, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Now here's a tagline for the film. Shang-Chi, the master of unarmed weaponry, based kung fu, is forced to confront his past after being drawn into the Ten Rings organization. We have a lot of show to cover today, so I'm just going to get right to it. Here's a trailer for Shang-Chi in the Legend of the Ten Rings.
I gave you 10 years to live your life. Where did that get you? You walked in my shadow. I trained you so the most dangerous people in the world couldn't kill you. Son, it's time for you to take your place by my side. You better watch out, cause it's my time. That's not going to happen. It's a new era, you suck him alive. You can't outrun. I run from mine. Well, that was the trailer, and I realized when a trailer is so loaded with action and not a lot of dialogue, it might be kind of hard to follow. So that's a little smudging of a buzzkill when you play one that has so much action. Now, coming up next, we're going to have several featurettes. And what these featurettes are this. The studio will send us like pre-packaged interview things that focus on one topic. And the first one is talking about kind of like the destiny or the plot of this movie, about how far back it goes. And you're going to hear from Awkwafina, the producer, and several other people. Just they intersplice their stuff with clips from the movie and then their interviews. So this first featurette just talks about the whole beginning of this film, like where it started from.
I'm going back to the very beginning of the MCU. We have a keystone event, and that event is Tony Stark becoming Iron Man. He's forced to build these weapons for an organization, and that organization was the Ten Rings. And there was this wonderful character we really wanted to do something with someday, and that was Shang-Chi.
When they announced this, the movie, I was really, really excited. Kind of tongue-in-cheek, I ended up tweeting Marvel, hey, are we going to talk or what? So I'm very glad I did that.
He's so intense as this character. Shang-Chi was made for Simu, and I could feel his passion for it.
The backstory of Shang is really unique. And that he discovered that his father was this evil overlord.
The rings gave our family power.
he's brought back into his father's world and has to deal with coming face to face with him again. And this is a much meaner and more hardened father. And then crazy stuff happens after that.
It's time for you to take your place by my side.
It's not gonna happen.
My heart was definitely in this project. It feels in line with everything I believe in, and it is a crazy, wild, giant ride that we're gonna go on.
Hold on, everybody!
Now, coming up next, we're going to have another featurette. Now, in this featurette, they mention something that's pretty much common sense when you go into a Marvel movie. Action, and a lot of it. But also, not just action, it has great story. And in these interviews, you're going to hear people just talk about how they raised the bar. It's not just a Marvel action-type film, but it's next-level action. And if you've seen the movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So here they are talking about the next level of action.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1, action!
Hold on, everybody!
Shang-Chi is, at its core, a Marvel movie that comes with the promise of action and a certain promise to the quality of the sequences that we're about to deliver.
This film will take your breath away on the big screen, and it is as big as anything that we've ever brought to life in the MCU before.
With the bus sequence, everything had to be perfect.
That was something I've never done before, taking a bus down San Francisco Hills and crashing into real cars.
We are using literally every single inch of that bus and figuring out what we can do with it.
We make a good team.
Some days at work are harder than others.
We're working with world-class stunt teams. Their work ethic, everything that they're doing is like incredible to witness.
I was training with the world champion of Tai Chi, and she was absolutely amazing.
I took 2 weeks to rehearse the fight sequence. It's a symbol of the aggressiveness and anger of the character.
We're going to incorporate a lot of different styles of martial arts. Tai Chi, which is very, very flowy. Another one is Wing Chun, which is a bit more combative. And then looking at certain regional styles to kind of fill in this mosaic of how this character moves.
Run it!
This film should stand out on its own. It's got a very magical story behind it, mixed with a lot of action.
The world has no idea what they're up for.
It's time for you to take your place by my side.
That's not going to happen.
Now, this is a shameless plug on my end, but it's needed, really. It might sound great, but what they show you on the set footage in that particular featurette is really great. So if you do want to see some of that, watch the TV version of this. And at the end of the show, I'll tell you how to do that. I'll give you the website so you can watch it. Because shameless self-promotion, yes. But there is some great footage in those featurettes that they show you that obviously you can see. Anyway, up next, we're going to have just kind of a little fun featurette. This one is Awkwafina, and she's driving around the lot of the set. And she's just picking up people from the cast and crew and talking to them for a while and then dropping them off and just going on her merry way. It just really shows you the energy on this set and what a really talent Awkwafina really is. So here's that.
Hi, my name is Awkwafina, and I am in the movie Shang-Chi.
Oh my God.
We're just going to go harass some of the other cast members because that's what I'm great at doing. I'm a professional schmoozer. First on the list, Mr. Simu Liu. Steve, I'll watch balls.
Oh, okay. I have the most fun when I'm on set with you because we have such a natural chemistry.
We do.
Okay, now!
We feel like when we bicker, it's really like two best friends bickering.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If you could get out.
Are you serious?
Come on, man.
What's up, Razor Fist? And Xialing.
Florian, what's it like having...
It's a cool gadget, I would say.
It is a cool gadget. You'd be a great Thanksgiving carver.
Yeah, just chop.
What's it like to be on a movie with me?
Cool!
Yeah, it's cool, right?
I would hire that self-control. I'm eating a full onion.
You're going in that building.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course, you're welcome. Tony, you play Wen Wu. You having fun? No?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Same.
This is my first time working with an American team. They're very nice.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Thank you, Tony. That was lovely.
Yeah.
We brought him back in one piece. Hi. I'm driving directly in the middle. Hello. Hi. Hidden, say hi.
What's up,
bud? Oh, my God.
You have a license?
I have a license to kill. But no, not an official license, no.
Now, coming up first, we're going to hear from the director. And these are one of those interviews that I really enjoy because it's so honest. He really didn't even care to direct a Marvel film in the past. But once he heard about this movie and what it was about, he really felt he wanted to do it. And I really like what he talks about here, how he met with people and just got that ball moving. It's just that little behind-the-scenes footage and knowledge that you wonder, how do people get involved in these movies? Well, here that is.
I mean, I honestly didn't initially want to direct a big Marvel superhero film until I saw the announcement of this particular character. And there was something about this character that gripped me. And I felt like I had to take a meeting with Marvel. And as soon as I was sat down with Jonathan Schwartz, our producer, and heard his thoughts on the character and the direction they were already wanting to take it, I just felt pretty aligned with that vision, and it got me very excited to be a part of the process.
Coming up yet again is a fun interview. We're going to hear from Simu Liu, who plays Sean, and he's going to talk about what an honor it is and was to be in this film, how he liked reading comics as a kid, and just all those things. It just makes you really appreciate when somebody's in a movie that they really are passionate about.
Being a full-fledged MCU superhero is an absolute dream come true, and I don't say that lightly. I was, you know, reading comic books from when I was a little kid. I was playing with action figures. I was watching all the movies, even the really obscure ones, even the ones that, you know, if we're honest, I probably shouldn't have seen because I was too young. But I watched them all and just became so obsessed with the idea of heroes, with the idea of like making your own destiny and carving out your own path and achieving greatness. And I just think that, you know, what's so special about this movie, of course, is that it's the representation of that. But for a community that isn't used to seeing, you know, that kind of authentic representation and that aspirational representation. And you know, the wonderful thing is that we not only have one title Asian superhero in the MCU now, we have so many, I'm looking at the poster now, and we have so many badass, you know, Asian and Asian American heroes and heroines that audiences will be able to look up to and that each represent a small piece of that spectrum that makes up the Asian or Asian American experience. And it's truly such a rich and diverse movie, and I can't wait for people to see it.
We're going to hear next from the director, and he says something here that I did not expect, I wouldn't expect. Usually when people are working on these big blockbuster tentpoles, there are so many hands in the pot, so many chefs in the kitchen, that it's so out of control. In a lot of movies like that don't make sense, or you just feel it disjointed, for lack of a better word. But he talks about how simple it was, that how everybody worked together. And it's really cool to hear that, because sometimes when these giant movies get made, you know it's just so cut up and just not as good as they can be. But hearing it from him, that he really felt part of a team and everybody was part of the team, it's just really fun to hear.
Marvel Studios has a very unique way of working, and it is surprisingly really fun. I mean, you could imagine that working on movies of this size would just feel like a lot of pressure and stress, but the way that the studio works is not really rooted in fear. It's rooted in exploration, where risk taking is encouraged, and there really isn't a hierarchy where where one person has all the ideas and everybody else needs to shut up and follow. This is an environment where the best idea rises to the top, even if that idea comes from an intern or a PA. And that's, to me, the healthiest type of environment to be creative in. I think when you're making a movie like this, we as audiences go to watch movies like this because we want to have fun, because we want to be reminded of that childlike play and imagination and just playing make-believe in a sandbox. And you can't really make movies that do that for an audience unless you are encouraging that in the creative process. And that's what it felt like making this movie so many times. I couldn't believe that I was getting paid to do it, because it didn't feel like work. It felt like play. It felt like make-believe. And I feel very lucky to have been a part of it.
Simu Liu next talks about how some elements had to be slightly tweaked to fit more of the modern era. So it really shows you how much they really put into this movie. They didn't just do a cut and paste. They actually thought it through and said, hey, how can we make this character more current?
There's definitely a responsibility when it comes to taking on a role like Shang-Chi. I think we're dealing with subject matter that comes from the 70s that is, you know, maybe parts of it are not the most suited to be modernized into 2021. So it was really critical that we, you know, take the core elements of the character that we think are the most important, but then to craft a new and fresh origin story that audiences have never seen before that really is progressive and makes sense in the modern day. And I think we've done that. We have such an incredible filmmaking team, including but not limited to, you know, Destin Daniel Cretton, our amazing director, and Dave Callahan, our screenwriter, both of whom are Asian American. And so they were really able to write to the Asian American experience when it comes to a character like Sean. You know, I was really just struck by how, you know, authentically the script spoke to my own lived experience. And you can see little Easter eggs of that sprinkled throughout the movie, like, you know, the way that Sean takes off his shoes before he, you know, visits Katie's house, and also the way that, that language is used, you know, that you know, Mandarin and English are seamlessly woven together in these households. Just really, really incredible. And, you know, the responsibility to get those things right is so critical. And, you know, we've really felt like we've succeeded, and we hope that audiences will agree when they see our movie.
Now, coming up next, we're going to have a scene from this film. Now, this scene is the one on the bus where you've probably seen in the trailers, where he's on the bus and then people, you know, he gets in a fight. And also on the bus is the character played by Awkwafina. And then while they're fighting, a guy off to the side is like, he has a phone and he's recording it, giving play-by-play. Again, sometimes when these action movies, you know, when I play an action clip, a lot of times you don't really get the true representation of it. But here it is anyway.
You have the wrong guy. Does he look like he can fight? Come on, bro.
You okay?
What up, y'all? It's your boy Clev coming at you live on the bus. I actually did take a little bit of martial arts as a youth, so I'm gonna try and grade this fight as we're going.
Okay, up next, we're gonna hear from Awkwafina talk about her character, Katie.
I think that she is easy to play for me because I felt like I was really stepping into a character that felt familiar. And I think that she is going through a lot of things for the first time within the universe, and especially with Shang-Chi. Yeah.
Coming up next, we'll hear from Simu Liu. And he was asked the question, does he share any of the qualities of his character, Sean?
I think I share a few personality traits with Shang-Chi. Most importantly, our affinity for karaoke. I think I love karaoke as much as, if not more than, Sean. And, you know, I will say definitely not in the fighting. I definitely am not one of the greatest hand-to-hand fighters in the history of the world, so can't really relate to him there. But I think in just the way that he is around his friends, too. I think Sean is intensely loyal. I think he just absolutely loves being in the presence of friends, and namely his best friend, Katie. And I think the two of them just are so down to have a good time, and I think I'm very much the same way. And then I'll also say, I think just in the way that Shang-Chi struggles with his relationship to his father, I think, you know, growing up in an immigrant household, I can definitely relate to that, you know, juggling and navigating the expectations of my parents and trying to connect to them, you know, even across a cultural barrier and oftentimes a language barrier. It was really hard for us, and we got into a lot of arguments, and there was a lot of tension because we just fundamentally didn't understand each other. And, you know, I'm really, really happy with the journey that I took, and I hope that Sean can take a similar journey in the movie where he can, you know, learn to accept all of the parts of him and including, you know, the parts that are darker and maybe represent, you know, his father's side.
We're going to play another clip from this film. Now, it's a real fun, cute scene. In this particular scene, Awkwafina is sitting with Sean, and he's telling her, well, there's a few other secrets I haven't told you about. My name isn't really Sean, and things of that nature. It's just a fun little banter back and forth.
I should also probably mention that my name's not technically Sean.
What? What is it?
It's Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi?
No, Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
Shang.
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 S-H-A-N-G, Shang.
Shang?
Yeah.
You change your name from Shang to Sean?
Yeah, I don't.
I wonder how your father found
okay,
you.
I was 15 years old, all right?
What is your name change logic? You going into hiding, and your name is Michael? You go on change it to Michael.
That's not what happened.
It's like, hi, my name's Gina. I'm going to go into hiding. My new name's Gina. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, you can hear me.
Coming up next, we're going to hear from Simu Liu, and he's going to talk about how they really talked about making this character relatable, not just a superhero who has a cool pose, more like you and me, not some other out-of-this-world being. I really like how they discussed this and made it happen.
I think working with Destin, what really struck me was how much he didn't want to make a traditional superhero movie, you know, and we talk about that superhero pose that Yelena makes fun of in Black Widow. I mean, but it's the spirit of that. It's the spirit of, like, you know, not wanting to frame this character as a superhero, but rather as an ordinary person. And that's when stories become relatable, is when there is human emotion attached to it. And I think Destin's affinity for that is what really makes this movie pop and what makes the story great. And, you know, going in, I was kind of filled with all sorts of anxiety and insecurity about myself and how I measured up as a superhero, you know, because who ever thinks that they're worthy, you know, whether it's like being not tall enough, not handsome enough, not, you know, not good enough at martial arts, or not, you know, whatever have you, not muscular enough. Like, there's so many questions that I had going in, just because I knew that I wasn't the tallest, I wasn't the most handsome, I wasn't the best at martial arts. And what Destin really made me understand is that I was chosen for my heart and my emotional, you know, my emotional range, not necessarily just how high I could kick, how much I could throw a punch. And really, the story connects because it's a human story and because it has those dramatic beats and isn't just, you know, an action movie by the numbers. And so I really hope that audiences can see that when it comes through, because we do have all of the trademark, you know, mind-bending, amazing action sequences of any Marvel movie. But then also, I think they're going to be really surprised by just how just how emotionally rich the story is, and that's definitely because of Destin's touch as a director.
We're going to hear next from the director, and he discusses what he hopes the audience will take out of this movie.
I hope when an audience sees this movie in a theater, they will be transported to a fantastical place and taken on a fantastical journey. I do hope that there is a level of healthy escapism that comes from stepping out of our lives and sitting in a theater for 2 hours to experience something. But on top of that, I hope that an audience sees the underlying themes and the emotional ride of these characters and find something in that they can relate to, that they can take with them when they leave the theater, that they can apply to, you know, their own struggles and their own pains that we're all working through. And I hope you leave the theater feeling a little boost of joy, a little boost of optimism, and like Shang-Chi has taken his own pain and his own struggle and flipped it on its head and turned it into a strength. I hope an audience can walk out of a theater doing a little of the same.
Okay, now here's my next dilemma. Like I told you earlier in the show, sometimes when there's action scenes and I play them, there's not a lot of dialogue and it's really hard to follow. So that's what I've been struggling with in this next particular scene. What we have here is that they're on the side of a building on scaffolding, and Sean is with Awkwafina's character. And the only line they really say is, you know, you go ahead, I'll like delay him or whatever he says. And all the rest is just a really great action sequence. If you could see it, you could still hear it in the music. So that is my major struggle on this one, and hopefully it still plays well. Without further ado, here's that scene.
I'll buy you some time. Just keep going.
The director has asked a question about this film. Describe it with one word and why. And it's a really great explanation. So here he is.
If I could describe this film in one word, it would be family. I think that word conjures a lot of emotions to anybody who hears it, because we all immediately think of the people that we are connected to the most. I think along with family comes some of the most joyous moments of our lives, and also comes a lot of pain and struggle. And this movie at its core is all about a family that is learning to deal with the pain of their past. And learning how to come back together after being shattered by something that was fairly tragic. Family is something that is incredibly important to me, and even while we were on set, because of the subject matter that we were exploring, a lot of the conversations naturally led to people talking about their own families and how they are relating to the characters in this movie. I think even in the MCU and the community that is created through the fans of Marvel there is a larger family that is created between the dialogue that fans have with each other and the dialogue that they have with the movies, each new movie that comes out. And there is something really special to now feel like I have become a part of that family, and all of these new characters in this movie are now a part of that family. And I cannot wait for everybody to experience that.
Simu Liu was asked the same question, and this is what he had to say.
Groundbreaking. Because not only because it literally, there is a moment where the ground breaks, but spoiler alert, but also, I mean, it's just such a watershed moment for so many reasons. It's the first, you know, Hollywood movie appearance of a legendary actor in Tony Leung. It's the first, you know, Asian-led movie in the MCU, and it's the first movie in the MCU with a predominantly Asian cast. It's groundbreaking in its action, in its characters, in its richness, and also in its representation. So it just truly a new and refreshing story, and I can't wait for people to see it.
This movie is loaded with iconic classic actors. And in this next interview, the director is asked how it was working with such legends.
Yeah, working with stars like Tony Leung and Michelle Yeoh was, it was very intimidating for me until I met them. I had worked them up in my head to be, you know, on a very high pedestal. And what I found, which was surprising, was they actually surpassed the pedestal that I had put them on, not only in their work ethic, not only in their talent and their ability to sink into a performance in a way that just blew all of us away on set. But they also surpassed that legend status in my head because they were so grounded and so kind, so gentle and respectful to everybody around them, and so full of joy and excitement for the work. They were a huge reason why we had such a fun and exciting time on set, because these people that we looked up to since we were young were telling us that it's okay to have fun, it's okay to explore, it's okay to have a good time on set, because that's what we're all trying to tap into. And it was really such a joy to be able to explore this story alongside them.
Simu Liu was asked the exact same question, and this is what he had to say.
It was an incredible experience working with an esteemed cast every day. You have, you know, just cinema legends like Tony Leung and Michelle Yeoh, and then also people that are just absolutely crushing the scene today, like Ronnie Chang and Awkwafina. And then you have, you know, total newcomers like Meng Rizhang, who is absolutely incredible in this movie. I mean, it really just was like a dream come true every single day coming to work. I was incredibly nervous. I was the new kid on the block in a lot of ways. This was my first, major movie production. And, you know, I was the guy on set oftentimes the guy on set with the least amount of experience. And so I had to defer to a lot of my castmates who were a lot more experienced than me. And they were all incredibly gracious and incredibly generous and patient with me. And we all kind of just got down to the work and you know, played and explored and tried new things and just were all united under the shared goal of making the best movie that we possibly could.
And when he was asked what the audience could look forward to, this is what he had to say.
I think audiences can look forward to some of the most incredible action sequences in any Marvel movie or any movie period. I think they can look forward to really surprising moments of comedy and also really surprising moments of emotional depth and intimacy. And, you know, that's what you get with a wonderful director like Destin. He's so good at kind of crafting this intimate story, rich with human emotion and intricacy, but in the backdrop of this massive blockbuster movie. I think he does it so masterfully. And I think audiences are really going to be surprised at the emotional depth of the movie when they watch it.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our extended look at Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Now, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, ways to improve the show, please feel free to let me know. CinemaJudge@hotmail.com. Because I can't fix what I don't know what's broken. So let me know. I want more listeners. I want you to be happy. I want you to keep coming back. So if you like what you hear, let me know. If you don't, how can I improve it? Now, everything after this point, there's no more show information. I'm not going to be talking about the movie anymore. Everything after this point is me thanking, giving shout-outs to people, and mentioning what I was listening to when I was making what turned into the podcast. Whenever I'm making the TV version of this, I'm cranking tunes. So usually I just share what I was listening to when I was making that, which turned into this. Now, if you want to watch this TV show version of this, go to Bloomington, Minnesota's webpage. That's BLM as in Bloomington, .MN. /BTV-shows and type in Cinema Judge. There won't be 20 years worth, of course, because I've been doing this now for over 20 years in Bloomington, Minnesota as a cable access show, but there's a few there. And I'm not going to lie to you, some of the stuff that they give me that I can't put on a podcast is great. So if you do like what you heard, you might probably even more enjoy what you see. But now it's the part I really like about this show where I thank you. You guys who listen to this show every week, or if you just stopped in once or twice, this list is for you who just listened to the last episode. So we have the United States, Germany, and Mongolia, Minneapolis, Minnesota, St. Paul, Minnesota, Madison, Wisconsin, Annandale, Virginia, Pasadena, California, Arlington, Virginia, Westlake, Ohio, Farmington, Minnesota, Holyoke, Mass., Lakeville, Minnesota, Bergenfield, New Jersey, Big Fork, Minnesota, Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, Alberton, Montana, Washington, Virginia, Frankfurt, and an unpronounceable one again, Underk Khan. And I know I butchered that one all the way out of town. But every one of you, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to listen to this show. It's awesome. I just hope my voice finds you well, or you're getting there. Every one of you who listen to when you're going to work, coming back from work, at work, sitting at home, brushing your teeth, you know, just for background noise. And a lot of people do that. And I thank you for doing that. You're cleaning around the house, whatever you're doing, you play the show. I really appreciate that. You guys are awesome. And this week's bourbon shout out goes out to Rhonda from Cub and Chris from T-Mobile. Thanks a lot for your hard work, man. I really appreciate it. You rock. So cheers to you both. And now it's time for the music section of the Cinema Judge. Yeah, it's kind of a weird combination, but hey, it's fun anyway. What the hey? So when I was making this episode, it took me several days due to the file conversion and all that little stuff involved. So it took me several albums to finish this show. I first started off with The Cure's Greatest Hits. Man, they had some great hits. If you ever have a chance, throw them down, however you listen to tunes, throw down The Cure. And then I found myself on a Doors kick, because I haven't listened to some of their albums incomplete in a long time. So I said, well, I'll start off with their first album. So the Doors' first album, throw it in, because it really get a feel for them. Especially if you don't know who the Doors are, if you don't know a lot about them, listen to that first album in its entirety. And then I moved on to L.A. Woman, which also is a great album. Then I moved on to Strange Days, and then Morrison Hotel. Sometimes I do that. I get in a kick, and I just listen to a band the whole time or the whole week long. And that's what I kind of did with the Doors after I listened to The Cure at the beginning there. I just did all Doors. Well, that's it. I'm losing my voice, or it's getting very dry, my glass is full, and I'm very thirsty. So cheers to you, and to the movies. So until next time, be well, be good, and I'm gone. I'm Jeff. Thanks for listening to The Cinema Judge.